What a wonderful day of worship already. What an exciting time. Next Sunday, a person that we've all been praying for, anticipating, asking God to prepare and to bring, is going to be here to bring a message that God has laid upon his heart. Today we were challenged with a goal of $10,000 to make sure that we are disciples who carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. The beautiful music that we've just experienced, I couldn't help as Scott was thinking about how hard it is to get over God's kindness and his goodness and how it just makes everything okay. Indeed, it is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. We want to invite everyone at the conclusion, if you are a baptized believer, to join us in communion at the conclusion of our worship today. And I think our sermon today will kind of point us, and I think everything has pointed us in that direction. I want to read a familiar story, told a little different in each of the synoptic gospels, but I've chosen Matthew chapter 19 for our text. And as we look at this story, it's a very familiar story. You probably know it by heart. But it will remind us that we are given an invitation by God to go deep. So I want to ask this question before we read our scripture and go into the message. If God lays something on your heart today during this service, would you say yes to God? We're going to read Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16. I would invite you, if you're able, to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's holy writ. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." An indication of the Ten Commandments, guys. Verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And the young man said to him, and Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, don't let me have great possessions. Lord, don't let me have anything that would interfere with my love for you and my walk with you. And Lord, when those things do happen, and they do, Lord, would you remind me of your kindness and your goodness, and help me to never get over that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Yesterday at this time, I didn't think I'd be standing up here. So I'm proud to be standing up here. I don't know how long this voice is going to last, but we're going to ride it as long as it'll go, okay? And And in this message was laid on my heart, and I want to say a special word of thanks to Cal, because I called him yesterday or texted him yesterday. Told him I didn't know if I would be able to go, and he was ready to stand in case I couldn't. I really appreciate that. But I've been excited about sharing this message because I believe that it will speak to our hearts today, especially at this exciting time at JHBC. And I want us to look at the life of this young man that I think we can all identify with. My guess is most of us are all Ten Commandment keepers. Most of us are excited about loving God. And this is a man who comes not in the midst. In fact, another version in Luke's gospel calls him a young ruler, which would have meant he had temple responsibilities. This is a fellow that probably would be a member of our church in our community. And when he was given the invitation to go deep with God, I don't know if there are any sadder words in all of Scripture than to go away sorrowfully from Jesus because of your great possessions. I want us to look at three I's. He identified correctly, he asked intently, and he intended to follow through. And the question for us is, do we intend to follow through? Let's look at how he identified correctly. He understood that he was speaking to the teacher. You may not have been asked this question I'm fixing to ask. Do you want Jesus to be your teacher? Savior, yes. Master, okay. Lord, we get it. But how about our teacher? Do we recognize him as our teacher? The young ruler went to the right person. So looking at our topic of an invitation to go deep, my question would be, are we trying to get the satisfaction of the deep longings of our life from the right place? It's easy to go to the wrong place. Now, I'm going to tell a story, and I want you to know no animals were hurt in the telling of this story, okay? Okay. But I'm a great fan of Jerry Clower. Anybody here know Jerry Clower? Well, he tells the story of Mr. Bunk de Lauder, who had a very sick mule. And he was in the store, and he was saying, I don't know if my mule's going to make it or not. And one person remembered, he said, you know, last summer, old Versy Ledbetter, his mule was sick with a colic just like yours. And he treated his mule. He did. He did. So Mr. DeLauder made his way out to Uncle Versy's house, and he said, Versy, I hear your mule was sick with a colic last summer. He said, it was. And I hear you treated him. I did. He said, what'd you do? He said, well, I got a piece of hose pipe and a funnel. And I shoved that hose pipe down that mule's throat. And I poured half a gallon of coal oil down that mule's throat. He said, you did what? He said, that's what I did. He said, okay. He went home, got all the apparatus, poured the oil down, and immediately his old mule just dropped dead. Well, it made him mad. He went back to Uncle Versy. He said, Versy Ledbetter, I did exactly what you told me to do. And as soon as I did it, my mule dropped dead. Uncle Versy said, you know, my mule did too. Now, why did I tell you that story? Because I bet everybody here has got a smartphone. And there's a lot of stuff on that smartphone, isn't there? Not all of it's smart, you know that. And there are a lot of people that are allowing a lot of people to influence the deep longings of their spirit. But they're not getting all the story. They're just finding out somebody might be treating something, but they don't understand the results that they're ending up with. This young man, he identified Christ correctly. We've got to start there. I want to tell you, you'll find no longing for your soul any other place than in Jesus Christ. He and he alone has the answers that we need. You see, too many of us are getting deadly advice from folks who may be giving us their best advice, but they're just not our correct source. So I ask today, do you want Jesus to be your teacher? Would you allow him, as this young man did, said, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" The second point after identifying correctly is to ask intently. Are we sincerely asking God the right questions in our lives that will make a difference? The young ruler, he asked the right questions. It seems just one after another. Do you see? What must I do? And then he said, keep the commandments. Which ones? And what else do I lack? He just kept asking. I love for us to ask questions of God. Part of our prayer should be, God, what do you want me to be doing? And keep asking that question in prayer until God makes it clear. Oh, this young ruler, he asked intently and he asked the right questions. Are we asking the kind of questions that will deepen our walk with God? I love this little simple story. A dad was watching his 7-year-old son out in the backyard sandbox. And he watched him as he was trying to move some of the big rocks some of the older boys had placed in his sandbox. And there was one very big rock that he just could not handle. But he tried. He tried to get a different angle. He tried to push and then to pull. He tried to get on the other side. He tried everything he could and was becoming more and more frustrated at the rock's immovability. Finally, the father walked out and saw his tiny little boy. And as he was walking out, the big rock had smashed his finger. He said, "Son, why didn't you use all your strength to move that rock?" I did, Dad. I did. I used all my strength. I pushed and I pulled. I used it all, and I can't budge it." To which his dad replied, "No, son. You didn't use all your strength. You see, Dad. You see, son. Your dad's your strength, too." The dad reached down and grabbed that heavy rock and rolled it out of the box. You see where I'm going with this? Are you and I trying to live life in our strength? Are we pushing against those hard rocks, not using all our strength? Are we asking the right questions? God, how can you help me in this moment? The young man asked God, "Listen to what I'm about to say." But he didn't want to hear God's answer. He asked God. He asked Christ, "What must I do? Which ones? What do I still lack?" But then when God gave him the answer, when Jesus told him what to do, he didn't want that answer. He wanted Jesus to validate his answer. He wanted Jesus to say, "Whatever you figured out, that'll be okay. However you're doing it, I'll come alongside you." How many of us know God doesn't want to come alongside us? He wants us to come alongside him. And there's a difference. This rich young ruler was given the exact invitation that Jesus gave to the apostles. come, follow me. He could have been a 13th apostle. That wasn't an invitation Jesus gave. One man said, can I come with you? And Jesus said, no, you stay where you are. But to him, he said, come, follow me. Come, go with me. Come, let's walk together. Are we asking intently? Are we asking seriously? Are we praying? Would we pray today, Lord, if there's anything in my life that is interfering with my walk with you, with my witness for you? And Lord, there probably is. And Lord, there probably is. Then today, oh Lord, would you deal with that? It brings me to the last point. The first question I asked before we read the scripture. Are we intending to follow through? Here's where the young man in our text failed. I love the old story about the old preacher that was preaching, and that was in a time when folks would talk back to the preacher. You ever been to a church like that? They still exist, by the way. I might preach 3 hours. I don't know. That'd be exciting. But anyway. And so he started to preach, and he said to the church, he said, you know, just like a newborn babe, if this church is going to crawl, then we're going to have to start praying. And the whole congregation said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. He said, oh, that's wonderful. He went on and says, and if we're going to stand up on our own 2 feet like God would have us to be, we're going to have to stay true to God's word. And the whole congregation said, let it stand, preacher. Let it stand on its own 2 feet. And he said, if we're going to walk, then we're going to have to praise and worship our God every Sunday faithfully. And the congregation enthusiastically responded, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And then he said, and if this church is going to take off and run, then we're going to have to dig down deep in our pockets, and we're going to have to give sacrificially. And it got real quiet in the church. And one little fella in the back was brave enough to say, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. I wonder, are we intending to follow through all the way? All the way? Do we just want to pick and choose? Oh man, you can't imagine. In verses 13 through 15 of this text in Matthew 19, it's Jesus talking about the little children. And he says, of such does the kingdom of heaven belong. It's ironic to me that the children in their childlike faith were closer to the kingdom than this rich young ruler who everybody would have thought was closer to the kingdom. But he wasn't. I wonder, do we intend to follow through all the way? Or do we want to go to a point where suddenly the answer that God gives us through prayer, and we know it's God's answer, seems like, well, not exactly what we want. C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. I like that. And then he says, aim at earth and you'll get neither. Pretty powerful thoughts, isn't it? Are you ready to go deep with God? I'm going to give you a family story. If you were part of the family, it'd be funnier. So I'm giving you that parameter and that disclaimer. But when I was up to about 7 years old, we lived in Wilmington, right, not far from Wrightsville Beach. And boy, has Wilmington changed. Anyway, And they'd always, you know, we'd have folks come in and they'd always want to go to the beach. I think that's the only time we went to the beach was when we had people in. But thankfully, we had people in all the time, so that was good. And so we'd gone to the beach and everybody wanted Dad to go swimming. Dad didn't really care about going swimming. But they kept doing it and they kept going. And so finally he decided, and what he meant was he was going to wade out in the little, but what he said was priceless. He said, "I'll go swimming, but I'm not going to get wet." And we never let him forget that. You know, that was his famous statement, that he'd go swimming, but he didn't want to get wet. Church, are we willing to go swimming with God and really get wet? I mean, dive in fully and completely all the way. Patrick Morley, an author of our day, has said that the American gospel has evolved into a gospel of addition without subtraction. It is a belief that we can add Christ to our lives, but not subtract sin. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. Can't be, can it? This moment was given, and this man was given an invitation in our text to come and be an apostle, to come and be a follower, to come be in the inner circle of our Lord and Savior, partly because he had done so well. I think the image before you is wonderful, that of thanksgiving and communion in front of it. I wonder today, what invitation to depth is God giving us? Do you remember my question? If God lays something on your heart during this service, would you say yes to God? What's God said? What will we say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you in this moment now, before we come to this table and hold in our hand a piece of bread that we will call your body, and a cup, and we will call it your blood. And we do it because you've said to do it often and do it in remembrance of who you are. Lord, would you hear us in a moment of confession when we say, Lord, here's what I need to do. Here's the decision I need to make. Here is an attitude or a habit or a relationship. Oh God, you know. And you know, we know. God, would you receive even now in our preparation to come to your table? Hear us say yes to you, oh God, about all that you've laid upon our heart, the changes in behavior, in attitude, in spirit, the willingness to not let anything, not even great possessions, come in the way of our walk with you, and mindful of your kindness and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time I'd invite our deacons to come down and we will share from the Lord's table.